Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about paranormal investigations, equipment, locations, and more with paranormal investigator Vinny Amico. When you moved out there, did you have any idea that you would find as many locations as you have? Did you know the history and kind of that there was a lot of hauntings, and or at least alleged hauntings?
Well, yeah, there was quite a lot. Again, when I moved out here in 2008, you know, the internet was, you know, full board. There was information everywhere, and obviously your research. And back east, I wasn't the one to let's go do the Waverly's, or, you know, I just wasn't that type of person to go and experience those types of things. But when I came out here trying to find groups of people, like I mentioned that meetup, I went, there was three or four different groups that I joined there. So what was the thing? They would do events at these different locations. So that's where I was first introduced to these places. And then, you know, you hear about other places. As we grew out here, people found out about us, and we would be contacted by someone. Hey, we go to this blah, blah, blah place. It's supposed to be haunted. We investigated there a couple of times. We're going to go back. Would you join us? You know, we would love to see what you come up with. So that's how I was introduced to other places. Down in Ajo, the Phelps Dodge Hospital, that one place was a meetup event that we first went down to May 2015, I think it was. We had to pay $1,000. There was 10 of us, so we all anteed up $100 each. And we went down there to investigate. We were the first team in there. Then if it sold about 3 years ago. But during that entire time, that place was unheard of. Actually, I think Ghost Adventures was down there. They did an episode down there, which changed the complexity of the place afterwards. But it was a place that wasn't anywhere. There wasn't on any website. You know, again, you go and you Google, you know, haunted locations in Arizona, San Carlos, the Grand, you know, Bisbee. Same things, you know, tend to pop up. These weren't, just like the places that we go to, they are not on a lot of people's radar, which is great because then they're not pummeled with investigators, you know. So, like I said, it's a catch-22. We want to raise money for them, but then we don't want to shut down what may be there, because it's like, oh God, you know, these people are back, or, you know, these types of people are here again. And then it just gets a bad reputation, which we don't want to have that happen either.
As a paranormal investigator, what is the difference or the excitement or the experience when you go into a place that, as far as you know, no one else has investigated, as opposed to a Waverly or, you know, the places that have been investigated by everybody?
Okay, two things. You know, when you investigate and you collect your evidence, then you're reviewing it. The way we do things, you know, we will say, like, tag, you know, like you're banging into something, tag, that was me, or, you know, you cough, you don't whisper. So our team is kind of disciplined in a lot of different things, where a lot of people will send me, you know, footage, or, hey, you know, check this out, see what you think. I don't know what was going on. Did you have anybody outside, which we do when we go to some investigation, especially at the Gila Jail, because there's a lot of activity in the area. Did you have anybody outside? Maybe there was someone that was screaming, and there's an actual kind of like a driveway in between the actual courthouse and the jail, and it echoes in there. So somebody could say something way out front, and that would pick up and resonate in there. All of a sudden, you got this something, what you think is an EVP, but it was somebody out front that said something. So we always have people outside monitoring. So if there is something that goes down, we know that, hey, you know, at 10:15, there was a girl that screamed out here because her boyfriend tackled her or tickled her or whatever. So we know what the atmosphere has been doing there and what we have done. And we don't know. So the Waverly's that are out there, and I look at evidence, okay, it's interesting, but I can't say that everything that was there was paranormal, because I wasn't there firsthand to experience it, to acknowledge that it wasn't something man-made or something else that wasn't paranormal. So going into a new place, again, we first listen to the building. Like, we investigated the Four Peaks Brewery down in Tempe, Arizona. which happened to just be on Ghost Adventures. We ended up finding out kind of on a freak. They were doing some type of like events in October, like a kind of like more of a Halloween attraction. So we reached out and said, hey, you know, by the way, this is what we do. We help some locations. If you want some help doing some of this, we can, you know, provide equipment for people to use, et cetera, et cetera. So they said, well, you know, maybe not this year, but we would love you to come and investigate and see that we're not crazy. So we went down, we met with them, we talked with them. And what I usually like to do in locations is set up overnights, where this way we listen to the building, we listen to what's going on, what equipment is going off. So when we hear something, we'll end up putting a small video together. We send it down to them and say, hey, look, at 1 minute and 18 seconds, what the hell is that? What is that sound? What is making that noise? It sounds weird. Oh, well, that's the compressor, or that's the vat expelling gas, or this is that. So we know what to expect when we hear something down there, or we're reviewing something. Ah, yeah, that's the vat, or ah, yeah, that's the compressor. So we do a lot of research that way, just in the sounds that are actually there. So when we investigate, we kind of can get around all that stuff. And again, if it's us, we do let each other know, hey, I coughed, or I sneezed, or I banged into something. So when you review it, you're not going nuts and thinking that it's paranormal. Same thing with equipment. We don't use apps. We don't use cell phones at all. Yes, are the apps out there? Yeah, they're out there, but we prefer not to use them. When equipment goes off, if a K2 spikes or we get a hit on a REM pod, okay, so what? For us, you need evidence to support evidence. We need personal experiences. When my wife was there, Pam, she picked up on a lot of stuff, so much that we ended up getting contacted by Ghost Adventures. They wanted her to come down on the show to actually share what she felt and go with them and see if they were picking up the same type of things. So the place was very active, but that's what we do. It's not just show up and bang it out and, you know, call it a day. We do a lot of work before and after the fact to make sure that what we are getting, if anything, is something of interest, not man-made or, you know, caused by something else.
And with doing investigations as long as you have, you mentioned earlier, you know, when you were much younger and you would go in with a recorder, Polaroid.
Yeah.
And now there's so much gear available. What is your go-to? What things do you really want to take on investigations?
I mean, you know, EVPs are my go-to. Like I said, if equipment goes off, that's fine. I don't know what is causing that. You know, it could be a moving EM field. Doesn't necessarily mean that's paranormal. It could be a compressor that kicked off in the freezer or refrigerator and that actually moves. If you were in a room with a REM pod and you have fluorescent fixtures, and that was, you know, maybe 6 feet or 8 feet from that fluorescent, especially the old ones with the old starters, when you turn on that light, your REM pod will actually kick off. So again, it could be something else, but when I have a straight up good EVP, and we're not talking about class A EVPs, again, that could be misconstrued. When we're getting something that you really have to listen to it and kind of pull it out and slow it down and, you know, get that actual real syllables out of that, those are the ones that are exciting. And it doesn't happen a lot. It really doesn't happen a lot. But yes, EVPs, recordings, that's my go-to piece.
And with all your experience and years of doing this, I find it so fascinating. For someone who is just interested in starting, do you have some advice for them?
Just be real, respect, introduce yourself. There's like what I call a paranormal etiquette. You got to go in there, introduce, ask permission, what's your intent, and thank when you're done. You know, wherever you go, whether you get something or not, whatever equipment you're using, remember, it could be something. You know, don't expect everything to be paranormal. And Jason Hawes had a great quote. It was I forgot what episode it was, but there was a woman, someplace that they investigated, and this woman thought everything that was going on in her place was paranormal. And they were finding things, you know, back in the day when they actually would investigate and come up with reasons why this is happening or that happening. But she didn't want to hear anything, and they were coming up with, you know, explanations, why you smell roses, why this, why that. So he got a little upset and he goes, you know, if you go into a place and you expect things to be paranormal, then everything that happens, you're going to assume it's paranormal. If you go in there and you dissect everything and look at everything, it may not be paranormal. All it is inconclusive. And that's the thing. Don't go into a location because it says it's haunted on the internet, expecting to be haunted, and anything that happens, oh yeah, it was paranormal. You have to basically get into it and rip it apart and find out if it is or if it isn't. I see people sometimes say, oh, look at the cat balls going off. Cat balls, basically, it's a tilt switch. It's a tube with a little round ball, and when it hits a certain area, it makes contact, and that's why it lights up. Magnetism will do that. If you go into an EM field, and for instance, at the Gila Jail, there is a actual 2-inch electrical trunk that runs right along the building, which supplies a couple of buildings behind it. That is actually creating an EM field. The actual jail cells are now saturated with that EM. They have free electrons. So if you go over there with a K2, those bars are going to light up. They're not going to fluctuate. It's going to be solid. Like if you went to an electrical panel, or like say you're a phone or a microwave, it's not going to fluctuate. It's going to show solid because that's electrical. So now people are assuming that that's paranormal, but indeed it was something else. So A, learn what your equipment is doing and why. When I got my first K2 in like 2002, the one you had to hold, I ran around my house, you know, looking around and testing stuff. And I went by my bed and I had this old clock radio that I got when I was a kid. I opened up a CD, you know, I made my first $1,000 and my father, yeah, you got to save your money. So I opened up a CD and he gave me a clock radio. When I went by that thing, it pegged like 60 milliwatts. I'm like, oh my God, you know, here I'm laying next to this thing. That's why I'm bald, you know, because this thing is putting out this UTM field. But that is, you know, a situation that a lot of people end up having where they're sensitive to EM. My wife is very sensitive to EM. And we've gone to investigations where, you know, it's almost an EM cage where, you know, they have the router on one side and they have one of those old long 4-foot electrical heaters. And, you know, you go there and like your meter is going off the charts. And you're like, look, you know, I would suggest A, getting this stuff out of here, or B, moving your bed to the other wall and see what happens. And sure enough, you know, all their feelings of being watched, et cetera, all dissipated because it was the EM field. So
that's interesting.
What's going on? Learn how your equipment works. Don't think everything is paranormal. Really dissect it and prove that it's not.
So over the years, all the places you've been, is there a place or two that really stand out to you that it really spooked you or you really got some great evidence collected?
Phelps Dodge down in Ajo, that place, when you drive up to it, it's up on top of a hill and you're like corkscrewing around it going up and it sits up there and it's so ominous. And you know, first time that we went there, it was windy as heck. Tumbleweeds are going by. So we load the equipment in. The owner at that time, Alan, took us for a tour and all the little broken windows and cracks and crannies, it was like the building was speaking. And this is like 3:00 in the afternoon. I'm like, holy crap. You know, I'm already, my anxiety level is up because this place is just, it's like it's speaking. And that night we were doing our investigation and there was a new section and the old section. And it was a set of double doors going into the one section. I was walking there and I, you know, walking and my foot would not go down. Like I stopped dead in my actual track. And I just got this overwhelming feel, and it really irked me where I backed up immediately. I never, ever felt something like that. It was just a total, total incredible, like a wall, like a feeling, like a force field, if you would. And that's the type of things that my wife feels all the time. She goes, oh, now you know what I experienced. And I am not in any way, and I think we all are in some way, but I am just dead. I've tried, I've meditated, I've done different things. I just can't do anything. But that was an incredible experience that I'll never forget. She'll go up to Sedona, and she'll stand in the vortex, and she would feel the energies. I stand there, and I feel absolutely nothing. But this place, that experience, it was nothing like it I've ever experienced in all my years.
And what was the name of that place again?
Phelps Dodge Hospital in Ajo, A-J-O, Arizona. Yeah, that was a great place. And the Healy Jail, I think, as far as a place that I know is always going to be active and always reach out when I'm there, that one for me is, you know, a very special place.
So now people can go to the website and they can get information about the various locations, but they can get information about the paranormal days that you do.
And again, I'm trying to get everything at the website, because if you go up to the paranormal group, there are links to get to the other sites, but if it's just there in one spot, it'd be a lot easier. But the one that will probably have more information for this type of stuff is azghosttours.org. That one would have all the locations that we work with, the Paracon, Paranormal Days, anything that we're running. Right now, we're just getting the calendar up. We don't post anything too far in advance. The Paracon, obviously, we will, because we want people to be aware of that. Same thing with Paranormal Days. But as far as events, we usually post a month before we're actually going to do the event. So we just got January set up there.
AZGhostTours.org.
Paranormal Group and or the AZ Ghost Tour. You know, you can use both or either one.
And it'd be great if somebody is interested in doing some investigations, if you have a group and you could go there and you could visit more than one location.
Well, especially for people coming to Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, for the groups, we offer 5 different locations. 4 of them are pretty much in the same area, 15 minutes apart. So, you know, you get yourself a good Airbnb, you know, that can accommodate, you know, your crew. And now you got, you know, kitchen facilities, so you can offset some of your expenses. And you're there, and, you know, Tuesday night you do the jail. Wednesday night you do the YMCA. Thursday night you do Bullion Plaza. Friday you do the courthouse or the old Elks. So all these things are kind of right there at your fingertips. And it works out, you know, well for a lot of people instead of, you know, doing travel. Because we're going to call it a hobby. This is an expensive hobby for people. You know, and yes, a lot of people are YouTubers, you know, they're looking to bring in revenue for what they do. But still, whether you're getting revenue from, you know, your productions, whatever you're doing, it's an expense. And, you know, having these places back to back and being able to offer, plus equipment wise, I have one guy from Chicago, when he comes in usually 2 times a year, he's got family here. So he'll come in for one of the holidays or birthdays or a special event. And he always gets together. He leaves all of his gear at home. All he does is he brings his cards and puts them into my cameras, runs my cameras all night, pops his cards out. And that's it. Uses our meters, REM pods, but, you know, whatever we have available, because we bring up a ton of equipment for people in case you don't have something, or if there's something new that we developed or a brand new, you know, product that we're checking out, we'll allow them to use it. So he's great because he just brings his cards and he's like, you know, this is my carry-on. It's a little plastic case.
God, that's great.
So it works out really well. So that kind of helps also.
And speaking of gear, you also sell gear.
Right. Ghost Hunters Outlet.
Yeah. So people can go there and buy the gear. And I saw there was a discount available.
There is a discount. Normally, no matter all time of year, it's Spirit. Just put Spirit in the field and it's a discount. For teams that become affiliated with the paranormal group, it's an automatic 15% off. You have to go to the paranormal group site. There's an actual, it's a login that you're going to get from us. It's a member only area. Besides the discounts on the equipment, you also get discounts on the locations. Our average location during the week runs like $300. But for the paranormal teams that are affiliates, it's $250, and that goes to the locations.
Yeah, see, that's
so
great.
We're there. Actually, we get $25 gas now because gas got so stupid. But, you know, we're there to help. We're also there kind of, I'm going to say, as a magnet. We'll take you through the property. We'll tell you if you want to know where the hotspots are. We'll give you the background and history of the locations. If you want to actually see some evidence, we will have some of our highlights available for you to look on our laptop if you want to see that type of stuff. And we're there if you need it. You need an extra person to run a camera, be glad to do that. You know, that's kind of what we do. And we meet people, you know, again, it's a growing field. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have new techniques, you know, new methods that we've never heard of or that they are doing. And, you know, now we get turned on to something. There's a team out here, Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations. they came up with an idea, which I'll send you a link, called Staticom. This is basically using a white noise generator, not recorder. This is generates white noise. And they run it through a various amount of filters and different things on a laptop. And they get incredible EVPs coming out of this thing. And it's not an app. It's not a spirit box, which may be picking up radio station. This is just white noise. That's it. Like Marcello Bacci back in the 70s, the work he was doing with tube radios and shortwave. That is what these guys actually did. And they brought it to the next level using this white noise generator. So we work a lot with this team, but that's the thing. People are coming up with ideas and different methods throughout the country that nobody knows about or hears about because they're small people, they're small entities. Maybe their locale or their state may know about them, like a lot of people know about the Rassman and Entity Voices, but a lot of people in your area probably never heard of this.
Right.
So that's another nice thing about this is you get to learn new things. And you never stop learning in this field, ever. If you do, you're an idiot.
And that wraps up our conversation with Vinny Amico. For more information, visit paranormalgroup.org. Or go to azghosttours.org. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, you'll get everything commercial free. Become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. You can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.